This morning, with this passage, this last chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5. And the title I have for the message this morning is What to Look For in a Pastor. What to Look For in a Shepherd. I'm not going to go through the whole of Scripture doing a thesis on this or something like that. I'm just going to look at this passage together this morning. But it seems to me that it's very relevant for us, and the passage is relevant for us this morning. What to look for in a pastor. When Samuel was seeking God's new shepherd king for Israel, and that's what the kings were in Israel. They weren't just kings, they were shepherd kings. Not by background necessarily, though some were, but by ministry. You see, they served the people. And Samuel was seeking God's new shepherd king after King Saul. He came to Jesse's house in 1 Samuel chapter 16. He came to Jesse's house and he saw Eliab, the first son of Jesse. And he thought to himself, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. He looked at the guy and he thought, this is God's man. As king, shepherd king. But then he listened to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and said, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the thing that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Samuel got the message. And there was no more looking as he saw the sons of Jesse come before him. There was no more going by looks or by wardrobe. And he just repeated seven times to the gathered throng there. He said simply this, the Lord has not chosen this one. But when David showed up, and he still looked okay, according to 1 Samuel chapter 16, he still looked okay. But that wasn't the point. The point was this, the Lord said to Samuel, rise and anoint him. He is the one. And was that anointing a good move for Israel? Well, in Psalm 78, at the end of that psalm, we read this, that God chose David, his servant. He took him from the sheep pens. He actually was a shepherd. He took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Israel. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. Was he the right choice? Was he the pastor that the church, or the church in Israel, if you like, was looking for? Well, he was, wasn't he? With skillful hands, integrity of heart, he led them. Well, Welbeck Road Evangelical Church is not looking for a king. Far from it. But we are looking for a shepherd. One who in humility relies upon God. One who will follow the example of Moses. Couldn't be Moses, of course, but one who follows the example of Moses, and he was described as one more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Well, we're not looking for that man, but we know, you get the idea, don't you? We're not going to get that man, but we're not going to get Moses, but we want someone who has humility in his heart, self-effacing. But like Moses, someone who is the one who is made ready by God when the call comes and forced to rely on God and his word. That was Moses, wasn't it? Forced to rely on God. How could he go to Egypt to lead the people? To lead the flock of God. How could he do that in his own strength? He was a guy who'd been in the desert 40 years looking after sheep. He couldn't speak properly. Pretty ineffective. And yet God saved his people through that man. Wonderful to see what God does with the man that he chooses. And we want to discern God's mind, don't we? Forced to rely on God, forced to rely on his word. We want that man, don't we? You see, the world is too dangerous a place not to be relying on God. And that's true for each one of us, isn't it? But our local shepherd, our local pastor, he needs God's strength even more, doesn't he? If he's going to counsel us right where we're vulnerable. And in looking for God's man, we observe character. We're to observe character. We're to observe lifestyle. We're to listen to what co-workers say of him. We're to test his spirit. Does he keep watch over himself? Only if he keeps watch over himself can he keep watch over the flock. And we must be very careful always, mustn't we, not to import a wolf in sheep's clothing, who ultimately will savage the flock, distort the truth, as the apostle said concerning his fears for the elders there in Ephesus. Well, there are general, what do we look for in a pastor? Well, there are general qualifications, aren't there, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. I'm not going there this morning. We're sticking here in 1 Peter. But for your reference, we do have general qualifications. But from this passage, what to look for in a pastor? First of all, a vital experience of Christ. That was Peter's life story. He was a pastor, you see. He had a pastoral heart. He had a vital experience of Christ. And that's the important point, verse 1. To the elders among you, I'm not doing every verse of this chapter, by the way, so don't worry. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. You see, he's a witness of Christ's sufferings. He knew so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnessed Christ. A vital experience of Christ. He had great highlights when he thought about the Lord Jesus Christ and meditated upon his experiences. He had great highlights, great joy, as he spent time with the Lord. He saw the great authority of Christ. He saw the miracles of Christ that only God can do. He saw the prayer of Christ. You see, he saw the transfiguration, as we saw heard last week and the week before. He saw the resurrection of Christ, or the resurrected Christ. And he saw the ascension into glory of Christ, with the words of the angels saying he's coming back in the same way as he's gone into heaven. He's coming back. That's why he's got this hope for the future, you see. The glory that will be revealed. He believes the promise of the word of God. So he has this vital experience of Christ in the joyful side, the great highlights, but also he sees this of Jesus Christ. He's experienced this, he's witnessed it. The rejection. The religious abuse of Christ by religious people. The crowd evaporation before Christ. Always come back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering to perhaps 20,000 people. And at the end of the chapter, there's 12. The crowd evaporation before Christ. The deep suffering of Christ, the death of Christ. So he had this vital experience of Christ. And he knew himself, and he knew of others too, of such great highs and lows as they participate in the sufferings of Christ. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. You see, he's a witness of Christ's sufferings, not only of the Christ, but Christ suffers. He's a witness of Christ's sufferings in his people and his own life. He's participated in the sufferings of Christ. Not participating in the sufferings of Christ with respect to salvation, but in terms of, with respect to family, he's part of the family of Christ, and whatever Christ gets, he gets, and he sees it in other believers too. You see, he who suffers in his body, he says at the beginning of chapter 4, is done with sin. He suffered in his body. He's seen those suffering in their bodies. You see, so there's a vital experience of Christ, the man. And the king. But also a vital experience of Christ in his people. And it was Peter's experience of Christ in totality, in its totality, that gives huge confidence in Peter to press on. Isn't that amazing? The sufferings of Christ experienced by him and by his people as they follow in his path, you see. It doesn't put us off following Christ. It encourages us to go on with him. If you don't believe that, read Philippians chapter 1. Paul's in prison suffering and the church is enthused to preach the gospel. How paradoxical is that? So he has this experience of Christ in totality, and he's lived with the Spirit of Christ in his heart. Romans 8. He who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Well, Peter is his. He has the Spirit of Christ in his heart, and the Spirit of Christ in his heart is guiding him. The Spirit of Christ in his heart is restoring him, mending his nets in his life. The Spirit of Christ in him is giving him power in his life. It's the only strength he has. He has nothing of himself. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And Peter says, yes, I know that. But Lord, you in me and through me can do great things. You see, he's seen the truth, and now he had the truth, or he has the truth. And he has the word of Christ. Oh, he remembers the word of Christ. He puts down some of the word of Christ. He speaks to Mark, who writes Mark's gospel, which is the experiences of Christ, you see. So he has the word of Christ. And he has the word of Christ called the Bible, growing to a future completion. And he lived by the word of Christ. Now, our pastor needs that experience, doesn't he? He needs a vital experience of Christ, and he will have, you see. He will have if he's been listening to the apostles. He'll absorb the experience of the apostles, the word of the apostles. You see, he will have this experience of Christ, a vital experience of Christ, if he absorbs the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching, as the early church did, you see. Peter is living by the apostles' teaching, isn't he? The word of God. And every pastor needs to be doing that, living by the apostles' teaching. In other words, dwelling in Scripture. We read in Colossians chapter 3, don't we? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If it's dwelling in you, it can't help dwelling in you richly. It's a rich word, isn't it? It's an unfathomable mine. And if the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, then the result will be a vital experience of Christ. And the pastor needs a vital experience of Christ because the pastor is a targeted leader. Acts chapter 12. The apostle Peter. Now there he is. I'm not suggesting the local pastors here are the apostles. They're not. But in the pastoral sense, those who preach the word of God are targeted leaders. In Acts chapter 12, the apostle Peter was arrested. James has already been killed. The brother of John has been put to death with the sword. And Peter himself is captured. He's put into prison, you see. He's a targeted figure. And verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And it's important, is it, the church prays for the pastor. I'm not talking about me. I'm out of this, okay? I'm talking about, in principle, the church prays for the pastor. I hope you do pray for me. But that's not the point I'm making this morning. Particularly, I'm thinking of our future as a fellowship. And so we pray for the pastor, don't we? He's a targeted leader. I was reading here in the Barnabas Fund stuff about a pastor and his wife harassed by authorities in Cuba, you see. Pray that God will bless and protect the work of, I can't pronounce these names, but protect the work of these people. Pray that Cuban Christians will be granted true freedom of religion. But here's a man and his wife harassed, you see. Oh, I know Chris, I know others are harassed and suffering, but that's not my point this morning. We want to see here, don't we, what to look for in a pastor, and we want to be praying for the pastor. Targeted leader, you see. But suffering, as we see from 1 Peter, and it's throughout the book, I looked again this morning, throughout the book, you see, suffering is the normal framework. It's not the framework right now in this country. It's coming, of course, but right now it's not that experience for the church, totally. But suffering is the normal framework. Well, what to look for in a pastor? A vital experience of Christ. Secondly, a good shepherd's loving concern. Verse 2. Be shepherds. He's talking to pastors, you see, elders. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. We need a man who wants to be like the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, we read this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those who have young. That's the great shepherd. That's how he deals with us. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That to think that he tends us as his sheep. He carries us. And Peter, of course, would remember his own commissioning as an elder there in John 21, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him, having restored him, having mended his nets. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. He said that three times, and the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, as he commissioned him for ministry, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who does that, he says, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that's what the Apostle Peter did, didn't he, in his ministry. He obeyed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter had heard the words of the Lord Jesus there in John chapter 10, verse 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. And so the elder, well, it's not just the pastor at the front, the elder takes on the sacrifice of his own life. He's a shepherd, like the good shepherd. And the elder takes on the delegated sacrifice of his own life. The great shepherd delegates sacrifice to the shepherd, to the under-shepherd. The under-shepherd is to be offer himself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and it's the worship life, isn't it? And thus, as an overseer, then, that's such a person, then he needs to be, don't they, as it says here in this verse, willing to serve. Serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing to serve. Prepared to serve the sheep, the prone to wander sheep. The pastor knows he's prone to wander. The sheep are prone to wander. You see, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? And a big part of his work as a pastor is to feed the flock, to know where the green pastures are. That involves public preaching and public and private teaching of the Word of God. That involves Sunday services. That's the public preaching of the Word of God, isn't it? But also it involves dealing with Nicodemus, dealing with the woman at the well, individuals. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he dealt with the public side of things, didn't he? The great shepherd, he dealt with the private individual needs of people, concerns, answering questions. And we read, don't we, in John chapter 3, that the shepherd knows his sheep by name. And the pastor needs to know what people are going through. And when it comes to, that's so important. But then when it comes to preaching, then time must be given, the pastor must be given the time that's needed for preaching. It takes a lot of time. Those of you who preach, you'll know that. But if you do it on a regular basis, sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, often twice a week in the past, it takes a lot of time, and sometimes it's harder than others. But we need to pray for the pastor that God will give the pastor the message. See? The message will be given. You see, the pastor is not just here, and we're not just here to explain the Bible, to explain what the Bible means. That's quite easy. Not without the Spirit of God, of course, but with the Spirit of God, the explanation of the Bible is quite easy. But the one who preaches at the front, who speaks from the front, is here to bring a message from God. The message from God for the people. And that means the pastor must first listen to God to bring the message from God. When I first was about to take on the pastoral role here, Eric Olson, now in heaven, with a lot of other good people, or grace-filled people, Eric said to me, "Let God give you your messages." Took me a few years to work out, or a little while, not a few years, but I had to go away and think about that. But let God give you your messages. And regarding choice of a pastor, I've told you this before, but I'm saying it again, it fits in really with what we're considering here, what to look for in a pastor. When Owen Jones is a great and godly man, humble. When Owen Jones, who spoke at my, or was here leading at the induction 13 and a half years ago, when Owen proposed to be the pastor at Send Evangelical Church, I wanted the other man. See? Two men up for the job. I wanted the other man. I was allowed to have my say, not just as an individual, but all the church, see. I was allowed to express my opinions, my views, you see. The elders said to me, or said to us as a church, "What you see now is not what you will see." In other words, this man is going to grow and develop and blossom and flower. From a bud, he's going to grow to a flower. What you see now is not what you will see. And so with the majority in favour of Owen Jones, and with only my pride to worry about, I voted with the majority. Why? Well, because I've got no spiritual reason not to. And how glad I was. Owen grew into that job, and he's still loved by us all. He hasn't been the pastor there for 14 years, but he's still loved by us all. Well, it's a tough job being a pastor. Plenty of people have tough jobs, but we're talking about pastors at the moment, aren't we? It's a tough job being a pastor, and you need to be willing to be a pastor, to be a shepherd, to be an elder. And some of the people, it appears here, that Peter addressing, some of the people he's addressing here appear unwilling to be pastors. But Peter says here, you've got to do it because you're willing. The big responsibility. You see, in one sense, the pastor is accountable to the church. The church membership is the boss, humanly speaking, of the pastor. But the pastor is accountable to Christ for the ministry that he has. And the Lord Jesus Christ expects shepherds to be like him, looking out for the interests of others, not for themselves. And in Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ expects his shepherds to be like him. Philippians chapter 2. The apostle says this: "Each of you should not look out for his own interests," that's the membership, "but also for the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus." And that's the pastoral attitude, isn't it? The same as Christ Jesus, who, despite whatever status you may think you have, the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Lord Jesus Christ, make yourself nothing. Become obedient to death of yourself, your own interests, you see. The focus is to be on the ministry. The pastor needs to have his focus on the ministry, not on himself, not on the minister. And of course, we need to remember this: the pastor needs pastoring. What to look for in a pastor: a vital experience of Christ, a good shepherd's loving concern, but lastly here, an example that's infectious. I'll just read verses 3 and 4. It's not definitively said here, but it's here, isn't it? Let me just read verse 3 and 4. "Be shepherds, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Pastor is not to lord it over people. Elders are not to lord it over people. If you lord it over people, that alienates. You know that from experience, don't you? If someone lords it over you, you're against them. But as we've seen, eldership is about service. Being a pastor is about service, a willing and selfless humility for Jesus' sake. And Jesus is the only boss around here. Chapter 2, verse 25, he is the Saviour. He bore our sins. As it says there in verse 24 of chapter 2, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That gives him the right, because he bore our sins in his body on the tree, it gives him the right to be the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And if you know that he's bore your sins on the cross for you this morning, then you'll be jolly glad that he's a shepherd and overseer of your soul. One who loves you and gave himself for you. I want that sort of overseer, don't you? The pastor answers to the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor answers to that audience of one. And the pastor must, you know, we'll see this in the person. Is he trying to please us, or is he trying to please the Lord? See? We've got to please Christ. Our aim has got to be to please Christ alone. You can't keep everybody happy all of the time, as I've found that out. But what we must do is we must keep the Lord happy. Let the Lord Jesus Christ take care of the rest. Well, you can't, an example that's infectious, you can't teach that in a sense. But you can be that. You can be an example that is infectious. I've observed these pastors of mine in the past. And it was infectious. Eric Olson. He's always the first man on the job at a work party. Always the first guy there with a spade or a broom. It wasn't his job particularly, necessarily, but he was always the first man there. I've observed, see? Go around with your eyes open. Observe these people. I observed Owen, Eric Olson. Owen Jones, always the last out of the building. Not just because he had the key, but he's always the last man out of the building, you see. Doing jobs that are not on the job description. We've got wonderful elders in this church. Not me, but the other two. You've got very good elders in this church. They're doing things it's not in their job description as elders. Nigel's working so hard with prep premises stuff. John does a tremendous amount of work. I honour these men, you see. Eager to serve, not lazy. Examples. And with respect to my previous pastors, we as young men, verse 5. Young men, be submissive to those who are older. We as young men, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, were glad to submit to these men. See, they're infectious. We want to catch the infection that they had. That's what the infection we wanted. Is that you? Do you want to catch the infection? Do you want to be one who is dedicated to serve the Lord and the joy of that, whether you're a man or a woman? You see, most of this is for all of us. The vital experience of Christ is for all of us. Looking out for the interests of others is for all of us. Serving, caring, and being an example is for all of us. It says it here, doesn't it? Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. And then he goes on in verses 8, etc., or 6 and following, to give the same ideas that he's been given with respect to the pastor: humility, self-control, alertness. See, that's for all of us, isn't it? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We want to be those who serve, don't we? All of us. And maybe it's time for some of us to, well, grab a towel and wash feet. And we see how it all works. You say, well, how can all this work? Be this, do this, do that. How can I do all these things? How can the pastor do all these things? What's the catalyst? What's going to make this work? With joy, with fluidity and progress. What's going to make this work? Verse 7 is going to make this work. Verse 7 is going to make this work. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, you see. It's God who gives us courage to face the future. It's God who gives us wisdom. It's God who gives us strength. It's God who gives us the faith to trust him. So we cast our care upon him, and then he will work for us and in us. We're going to find opposition, all of us. We're going to find the devil against us in verses 8 and 9. We're to resist him like the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see that in leadership, don't we? We want to see the leadership resisting the devil. And how did the Lord Jesus Christ resist the devil? Well, with the word of God and prayer. No time to go into any more this morning. So what do we look for? What to look for in a pastor? A man who has a vital experience of Christ, a good shepherd's loving concern, an example that's infectious. And if our pastor, if our new pastor, has the first two qualities, then the third one will follow. The man will be an example to you that's infectious. But only if you yourself have a vital experience of Christ.